Hello, and welcome to the May edition of In Conversation With, the podcast from The Lancet Healthy Longevity. I'm Philippa Harris, the Editor-in-Chief, and today I'm talking to Jonas Salinquist, a senior researcher from the Steno Diabetes Center Copenhagen in Denmark, on his randomized controlled trial, which looked at time-restricted eating in participants at high risk of type 2 diabetes. So we hope you'll enjoy this episode, and you can find the paper to which it's linked in our May issue.
My name is Jonas Salinquist. I'm a senior researcher at Steno Diabetes Center Copenhagen.
So thanks for speaking to us today. Could you start just by explaining what time-restricted eating is?
Yes, time-restricted eating is an intermittent fasting regimen. It limits the time for food intake to typically less than 12 hours per day. And usually the diet is ad libitum, meaning that there are no restrictions regarding food intake, food quality and quantity. And this means that instead of focusing on what and how much to eat, there's a focus on when to eat. And in modern society, most people consume their food throughout the day, meaning that they have a short overnight fast. And the theoretical rationale behind TIE, or time-restricted eating, is that food is consumed in alignment with circadian rhythms in metabolism, and that TIE may also lead to a spontaneous reduction in energy intake.
And is the idea also that time-restricted eating would be easier for people to follow because it's much easier to remember, I can only eat between these hours, than it is, say, oh, what's the calories in this and what's this? And
yeah, exactly. So no need for calorie counting and focus on specific food items, etc. Yeah.
And so what, before you started your study, what evidence for the benefits of time-restricted eating existed?
Yeah, so the research study that has just been published, and we applied for funding for that back in 2017, so it's a few years ago. And at that time, animal studies had suggested that time-restricted feeding could prevent weight gain and also improve markers of metabolic health. There was only a few human intervention studies, and these were short-term intervention studies. And these suggested that time-restricted eating could improve body weight and markers of cardiometabolic health, including markers of glucose metabolism. And importantly, what was a great motivation for our study was a small pilot study conducted by our collaborator, Professor Sachidananda Panda in California. And they showed that 16 weeks of 10 to 11 hours time-restricted eating resulted in weight loss after 16 weeks intervention in people with overweight or obesity. And what was very interesting in that pilot study was that all participants expressed interest in continuing time-restricted eating after the intervention. And when they came in for 1 year follow-up, they maintained their weight loss. So this suggested that time-restricted eating had a potential in prevention and treatment of overweight, obesity, and metabolic disease. And therefore, we initiated the research study, and at that time point, there was a need for randomized controlled trials.
And you chose to focus on participants at risk of type 2 diabetes. And is that because of the sort of metabolic benefits that you saw in the previous evidence?
Yeah, exactly. So we aimed to include participants that were at risk of type 2 diabetes. So they had either overweight, so BMI 25 or above, with concomitant prediabetes, or obesity, so BMI 30 or above, with or without prediabetes. So we tried to identify people at risk.
And for your trial, your intervention was 3 months of time-restricted eating, and you chose a 10-hour eating period. Can you tell me why you chose that sort of window, And also, you know, were there any other restrictions on participants' diets?
A very good question. So we chose a three-month intervention since we expected this to be sufficient to induce relevant changes in body weight and improvements in markers of metabolic health. And we also included a three-month follow-up period. So we had a predefined three-month follow-up period to assess whether potential improvements in body weight and cardiometabolic health would be maintained after active intervention. So regarding the 10-hour eating window, that was, as I said before, little evidence was available at the time we initiated the study. And according to the pilot study that I just referred to from Panda's group, they showed that 10 to 11 hours was sufficient to induce body weight. And also in the reset study, we wanted the intervention to be feasible in participants' everyday life. So this would also ensure that participants could have, for example, dinner with their family, which we think could be an important aspect in implementation and maintenance.
And were there any other restrictions on the diet?
We had no other restrictions or specific instructions regarding dietary intake, but all participants received the official dietary guidelines from Denmark.
And what were the results of your study?
So contrary to our hypothesis, and despite high compliance to the intervention and high retention, 3 months of 10-hour time restricted eating in individuals at high risk of type 2 diabetes did not result in significant weight loss or improvements in cardiometabolic risk factors compared to the control group. So that was the main findings. However, we predefined a protocol analysis that included participants who adhered to the intervention minimum of 80% of the intervention duration. And here we observed a 1 kilo reduction in body weight compared to controls. As I mentioned, we also looked at the several cardiometabolic risk factors, and we observed within-group reductions in body weight, fat mass, and HbA1c in the TRE group, but this was not significantly different from the control group.
And how did participants find the intervention? So you said that in previous studies, people had sort of started time-restricted eating and actually had been very motivated to keep it up. So was the sort of experience for participants positive?
Yeah, and then that was also motivated by our general research interest to design study that potentially could be feasible in everyday life and be maintained in the long term. So, and also inspired by the pilot study, we thought that we aim to include a great focus on feasibility of the intervention, and try to address how participants implemented TRE in everyday life. And therefore, we also conducted interviews with a subgroup of the intervention group. And many participants, they were positive towards time-restricted eating. They expressed that TRE was attractive since it did not, as I mentioned before, require calorie counting. And furthermore, it was important to many participants that the intervention did not include or require medication. So the interviews also suggested that it was essential to have social support from family or relatives. And this also, the interviews also indicated that calorie-free beverages, for example, morning coffee without milk, and sugar could be an important intervention component, or at least it would be a great aspect of TRE in long-term maintenance. Many participants also found TRE challenging, especially in relation to social activities, for example, birthday parties or dinner parties. And many participants actually, and that could support the absence of weight loss. Many participants told that they compensated during mealtime to prevent hunger during the extended fasting period. And this was quite interesting that we observed in the data on dietary intake and continuous glucose monitoring that that it seems like participants compensated, especially close to the end of the eating window. And this is something that we and others should address in future studies.
I see. And so you get people that are sort of worried that their time to eat is about to run out, so they quickly make themselves some more food or grab something.
Yeah, exactly. And often participants also, for example, before inclusion, they had late evening snacking, or it could be cookies, etc., in the evening. And some of them instead had the cookies early in the day, so within their eating window. That was just an example that if you do not exclude these dietary factors or this energy intake from your diet, then you couldn't really expect great changes in body weight.
And so following the trial, I mean, do you think that time-restricted eating still has a role to play in sort of metabolic health?
Yeah, I think so. During recent years, when we have, while we conducted the research study, there has been published a great number of studies. And in general, these studies have been with quite small sample size and short duration. So I think there's still a need for large randomized controlled trials. But in general, it seems like TRE can, or time-restricted eating can or has the potential to improve markers of metabolic health. But I think TRE should not be seen as a short-term strategy to improve or induce a significant weight loss, at least not with the 10-hour time-restricted eating. There is evidence suggesting that a shorter eating window would induce a larger energy deficit and may lead to greater weight loss. However, there's a lack of long-term studies addressing this.
And you can imagine that a shorter time window might be harder for people to adhere to because, as you said, you know, missing out on the birthday parties and the social events. So, I mean, you said there's need.
Yeah, and also I think just in the everyday life of participants, not being able to have that, you may know about or have heard about early time-restricted eating. And for in a long-term perspective, I think it's very challenging to have people adhering to dietary regimens that do not allow for. So meals are very important aspect of social life and family structures, etc. So I think we need to address this and ensure that participants can maintain their social life. At least this is a requirement in long-term maintenance.
Yeah, and you said that, you know, you'd like to see sort of more large, longer-term studies. What areas do you think the field need to focus on? What, you know, research questions would you like to see answered next?
I think in general, so there has been a few longer term studies, so 6 and 12 month interventions. But I think in general, there's a need for larger long term studies. It could be speculated that the degree of energy deficit is not sufficient in the short term, but it could, if feasible and the intervention is maintained, then it may induce improvements in the long term. But there's a need for larger long-term randomized controlled trials. And also, I think the great body of evidence so far is in people with overweight and obesity, but I think people with metabolic dysfunction or type 2 diabetes would have a greater potential for improvement. And there are some studies in people with type 2 diabetes, a few studies, but there's a great need for larger studies in people with metabolic dysfunction. And furthermore, I think, and that is also based on our experiences in the research study, there's a need for a more individualized approach. So many TAE studies, they have prescribed a standardized eating window and timing of eating window. I think for long-term maintenance, there's a need for a more individualized approach and prescribe an eating window based on the participant's habitual eating pattern to ensure sufficient reduction in the eating window. And also this will be crucial for long-term maintenance. Based on our findings, there's also a need for flexibility and influence on the timing of the eating window to ensure long-term maintenance. And so to sum up, I think there's a great need for larger long-term studies, and especially in people with type 2 diabetes where the potential is greater. And that is actually what we are currently doing at the Steen Diabetes Center Copenhagen, where we perform the RESET 2 study, where in this study we investigate 1 year time restricted eating in 160 people with type 2 diabetes. So I'm excited to tell you more about the results in a few years from now.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so when do you expect the results from that study to come out?
Depending on the recruitment rate, the last participants will complete in 2016. 26. Sorry.
Building a time travel machine as well as a trial.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that sounds brilliant. So watch this space.
In a few years from now, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome.
So thank you so much to Jonas for speaking to us and to you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll be back in June with our next edition. Thank you.